And I'm joined now by Tom Watkins. He is the state's former state superintendent of Michigan schools. Tom, welcome.
It's always good to be with you. Thank you, Cindy.
And we also have with us Rick Pluta, Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. He joins us as well. Welcome, Rick.
Hi, Cindy.
So we have the two of you here this afternoon as we try to pick apart just what is happening in school districts in Michigan and just where education funding is in our state. So when we hear a story about a school district ending a month earlier, essentially saying, sorry, we don't have the money to keep the doors open, it really does raise a red flag. And Tom, I want to start with you. Help us first to understand just how did the Buena Vista School District get to where it is today?
Well, there's two issues, I think, going on. One is that it appears that there was an inappropriate use of resources that they were serving some kids at a juvenile detention facility. They stopped doing that and continued to collect the money. But the bigger issue is the issue of school finance. And I pointed this out in a report called Structural Issues Facing Michigan's Schools in the 21st Century back in 2004, where I said that the educational system, the funding system in our state, is unsustainable. And sadly, we're seeing that across the state today with over 50 school districts that are in financial distress and on the state's watch list today.
Rick, I want to ask you, some are questioning just how is it that the state let things get so bad for the Buena Vista schools without intervening? I mean, there are other districts in Michigan under emergency management. How did Buena Vista slip through?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, as you heard at the beginning of Sarah's piece, that there's sort of this circular finger pointing that the governor says that this is the responsibility of the state superintendent and the Department of Education to deal with this. The state superintendent, Mike Flanagan, says that it's actually the school district that caused this problem and he can't do anything about it. And the school district says, yeah, but we're out of money, that we can't, you know, we can't pay our teachers, we can't pay our support staff, so we can't run classes without those school aid payments. And so sort of what we have is a situation where there's a lot of villains, but no hero who's stepping in with a way to get these kids back in school. I did ask the governor, you know, is this an indication that the early warning system that the state set up, that it was supposed to be part of the, you know, reforms that were part of the new emergency management law, did they fail here? And he says that Buena Vista is such a unique situation that it really shouldn't be measured by the same standards as we do other situations where local governments or school districts go insolvent. And so that almost seems to say we weren't looking for it, yet we do know that the shutdown, at least, was triggered by the fact that the state cut off the school aid payments.
This school district is, in fact, the canary in the coal mine. There's others that are so financially precarious that a small blip, a little bit of a wave, is going to put them under as well. And that's why that it's absolutely essential that, one, we fulfill our constitutional responsibility to the children of Buena Vista School District and get them the education they need and deserve and is constitutionally protected. But we also look at this issue on a broader perspective and deal with the structural funding problems facing our schools in the state.
Well, let me ask you, Tom, having you know, sat there in the office as the state's superintendent of Michigan schools, so you know what the view is like from Lansing. So let's just look at Buena Vista a little more. Who would you blame here for this, the superintendent or the state?
Well, in fact, I wouldn't blame, because the old saying is when you point a finger at one person, four more are pointing back at you. The point is that we are in this situation, and over 400 children are sitting home, not getting the education they need and deserve, and it's incumbent upon state leaders to step up with the local school district and find a way to get those kids the education that they're constitutionally entitled to. This is something that, quite honestly, is just unacceptable, and the finger-pointing needs to stop, and the work needs to begin to get the kids that. Because if they don't get the education today, it's going to be an adult without much of a future tomorrow.
I'm just even wondering, practically, looking at the timing of the year, have they figured out what will happen to the seniors who are supposed to graduate any day now. What will get to happen to them? Do we know?
Superintendent, Mike Flanagan, the state superintendent, said that he will waive the 180-day school attendance requirement so that the seniors won't at least, you know, lose out because of that, and so that if they otherwise qualify to graduate, then they will be allowed to. My understanding is that the district is planning a graduation ceremony for its seniors.
Meantime, Pontiac appeared to be in a similar situation late last week. We heard, oh boy, here goes Pontiac. And then comes news that the state will release school aid payments to the district of Pontiac so it can meet the payroll. What's going on there with Pontiac?
Pontiac was heading for a payless payday, and that was that the state superintendent, Mike Flanagan, warned the district of that in a letter that's part of a financial review that the district is undergoing. It's part of sort of the path to emergency management. And what happened was after that was revealed, late Friday, the Pontiac School Board met and revamped its deficit elimination plan. The one that it had already submitted was expected to be rejected. It reconfigured it. We don't know how yet. And the state accepted that and said it'll release the school aid payments so we won't have a second district, a larger district, also shutting down, roughly a month before the end of the school year.
So what we get is Pontiac, yes, they get money from state, but the state is cutting off money to Buena Vista. And both the governor and the state school superintendent say, we can't do anything. Have I got that right? Because it sure doesn't seem to make practical sense.
That's about where it stands right now.
Tom, when you hear this, and I know you started talking about just the fact that this is the canary in the coal mine, and there are some 50 districts on the verge of financial crisis. What do you think these districts have in common? Is there one certain thing at fault, the way that, like, the way the schools have funded or money was used? Or are there kind of a convergence of factors that's leading to the financial troubles?
I think that there's a number of issues that are there. One, we've seen resources for the state dwindle. We've seen cuts in public education. But we also have some structural issues. As the Buena Vista School District is a school district of 450 students. We have elementary schools that are larger than that. 40 graduating seniors, only of which 26 qualified to graduate. So we have to ask ourselves, does it make sense to support 550 school districts as small as a 450 student body population? Is that the best way to use limited resources? To put it a different way, is if we were to find this state today called Michigan, and we had 1.6 million children with a responsibility to educate, and literally tens of billions of dollars that washed up on our shore every year to provide them the education, would anybody in their right mind create the system that we have today? And I think the answer to that is no. And if we're going to deal with this issue going forward, we're going to have to deal just like General Motors and the city of Detroit today is dealing with some of the major structural problems that are facing our schools. And some of that is going to require sharing a service, consolidating school districts, and look at some of the unsustainable costs of operating our schools going forward.
There is another commonality among a lot of these districts, which is they're hemorrhaging students. That Buena Vista in the not-too-distant past was a district of 700-and-something students. Now it's a district of 400 and roughly 420 students, I think. And it's still losing students and the per-pupil state payment that goes with it. And as you lose students, you really can't, if you're a school administrator, you can't cut costs fast enough to meet that hemorrhaging for a whole bunch of reasons, not the least of them being that if you've got a class size of 25 and then your class size becomes 20, you still got to pay a teacher and all the attendant costs that go with running a school to deal with the students that you still have.
Rick is absolutely right on that point. And so if you lose, when you figure the state aid, and also a lot of these school districts serve a number of children that are in poverty, so you figure in the federal dollars, in essence, when one student leaves, $10,000 walks out the building. And so, you know, if it's 100 students that have left, you've lost $1 million to operate your school. But that issue isn't going to go away, and that's why we need to deal with this on a larger scale. statewide structural basis.
And what would that look like, Tom Watkins? I mean, we've seen the EAA has certainly been a topic of conversation as it kind of begins operations with the 15 schools in Detroit and possibly expanding. We have seen districts under emergency management. But what do you feel as the former state superintendent of schools? What would that fix look like?
Well, the long-term issue is that we're going to have to take a look at downsizing our school districts across the state. And I suggested in this report, people can Google it, the structural issues facing Michigan schools in the 21st century. So we're going to have to look at sharing a service, consolidating school districts, and we're going to have to address the legacy costs of health care and pension. There's only three ways to balance a budget: increase your revenue, decrease your expenditures, or a combination of all three. And we don't seem to put enough resources in order to cover those costs, and we expect the school districts to manage to them. And until and unless we deal with those issues, we're going to continue to see this type of a crisis pop up from time to time.
Rick Pluta, what are you going to watch for next?
Well, I guess a couple of things. There has been a lot of discussion in Lansing of late about school funding and revamping school funding. Typically, it seems to be right now on the cost side and whether or not to induct more competition vis-a-vis charter schools into the system that the governor recently at the Governor's Education Summit said that he, you know, thought that maybe some things about the proposal A school finance system needed to be revamped, but that he was not going to take the lead on that, that was going to have to come from the local level. I'm wondering if this isn't not unlike the Kalkaska school shutdown in 1993, something that creates a lot of momentum that drives a conversation about school, a school funding overhaul that can't be ignored.
And the point is that while we can always use additional resources in our schools, unless we deal with some of these structural issues, it'll be like pouring more water into a glass with a hole at the bottom and wondering why we can never fill the glass. So until and unless we address the number of these issues, and I think Rick's absolutely right, this may be, and it should be, the state's Kalkaska moment, and that's when we closed down a school, Kalkaska, that brought about Proposal A in 1994. And perhaps we need to move from Proposal A to Proposal A-plus as the 21st century advances.
Tom Watkins, former state superintendent of the Michigan schools, and Rick Pluta, Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. As always, thanks to both of you very, very much.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Meantime, some other education news for you. Under a proposal being debated in the GOP-led State House, Michigan teacher performance would play a bigger role in the amount they get paid. Legislation recently debated in the House Education Committee would make teacher job performance the primary factor in determining pay, which could make years on the job and some advanced degrees meaningless. Under current law, job performance has to be only one factor in teacher pay. Supporters argue that moving away from a system that rewards seniority will improve teachers and will benefit students. Opponents worry this policy could cause competition among teachers.